And actually, those two questions are actually a really good lead into my presentation, so thank you. Because basically what we're trying to look at is just discrepancies in data of immunization records in different situations. And so the topic of my presentation is comparing school immunization records with NDIS data. So we want to look at the discrepancy between records in school-aged children and what we have in our state registry. So basically what I'll be discussing today is first kind of the explanation of the project. This is a pilot, so we're just kind of getting this going. So just go over the explanation of the project, where we got our data from, and then just kind of how we went through the project and our results. So basically what we wanted to do is we wanted to include this as our evaluation project. And we chose to evaluate the registry, which is the NDIS, or the North Dakota Immunization Information System. It's because this is a huge part of our program. It's a lot of what our money goes to. It's a lot of what our efforts go to. So that's why we really chose that as our evaluation component. But by choosing this project, we're also kind of evaluating our self-reported school survey and doing a population assessment at the same time. So basically what we wanted to do is we started with kindergarten. Like I said, this is a pilot project, so we had to start with one grade. So we gathered kindergarten immunization records from the school and then compared it to the same child in the registry. So we didn't do population-based. We actually took that child's record from the school and compared it specifically to our registry. What we basically did to start with is we were just comparing number of doses. We didn't look at validity. We didn't look at a lot of issues like that. We just did peer number of doses versus number of doses. And we also obviously matched them based on administration dates. So I want to go a little bit into information about our registry. It's the NDIS. It's the North Dakota Immunization Information System. It is a confidential, population-based, computerized information system that attempts to collect vaccination data about all North Dakotans. Basically, the part that we like to point out is it was converted to web-based in 2001, so that's really where we started to get a lot of our data from. So we've had a pretty solid registry for the past 10 years. We do allow school access. Schools can have access to our registry, and currently we have about 121 schools who have actively have used it probably within the last couple months. In North Dakota, we're a very, very small state, so we probably have about 450 schools, so you can kind of look at that way. So very different from New York City. So just looking at the data, we're very confident in our registry, and so I just wanted to put in a couple points as to why we are confident in the data. Currently, there are 26,595 children aged 4 to 6 years of age with 5 or more doses. And why we looked at 5 or more doses is because that's probably going to mean that we have more than just their kindergarten doses. They probably have a pediatric record in the registry if they have 5 or more doses. And to point that towards the U.S. Census shows that North Dakota has 23,473 children in that same age group in North Dakota. Obviously, you realize that there's a discrepancy there, and we have more children in our registry than the U.S. Census says that we have. And that can be because our registry includes children who live out of state, who live in Minnesota, South Dakota, bordering states, and it also may include kids who have received immunizations in North Dakota and then left, or duplicates. So that may kind of include that discrepancy. In North Dakota, we do have a strong provider participation in our registry, especially for pediatrics. It is North Dakota state law that all doses administered to those 18 years and younger have to be included in the registry. So we have, more than 90% of childhood immunization providers are enrolled and enter doses in the registry, and that's checked fairly regularly. And also 95% of our doses are entered within 30 days. So we're fairly confident in our registry data in kids this age. So then on to our second data source is the student immunization records. So these are going to be immunization records that are housed at the school. They can be any immunization record that the school keeps on file as their student immunization record. We worked with the CDC who pulled a standardized sample. And we started with a pilot area, which I'll explain in a minute. But we did collect them from 4 public schools. And these records are printed directly from Power Schools. And I'm not sure if anyone is familiar with Power Schools, but it's the electronic system that our schools use to track basically everything. Everything from attendance to immunization to grades, everything. One important point to kind of point out about power schools is it's all manual data entry. So a lot of times a parent will bring in an immunization record, and someone from the school manually enters those dates into power schools. So when I say the record is printed directly from power schools, it's printed directly from their manual data entry. And a lot of you are probably familiar with working with schools. We have a lot of difficulties with FERPA, and I understand why FERPA is there, but with a lot of these situations and a lot of these programs, FERPA is a huge hindrance. And so basically what we had to do was looking at FERPA guidance. We brought it to our Attorney General's office, and they kind of they gave us guidance on what we could and couldn't do, and that's pretty much how we determined where our pilot area was going to begin. So I'm just going to read this basically so I don't mess it up. But based on guidance from the Attorney General's office, we could obtain immunization records from schools where the local public health department employed the school nurses. And that's because those school nurses kind of wore two different hats. They worked in public health and they worked with the school. And it was based on how their contract was written with the school as to whether it applied to FERPA or not. So in that first situation, the immunization record was deemed not to be covered under FERPA. Then the second situation, the local public health department did not employ the school nurse. Those records were subject to FERPA, and we'd have to get parental consent to release them. So basically, what we chose to do the first time and made sense to us is why not work with an area where the local public health department employs all of the nurses? It's a lot easier. And we wanted to just get a first year of data to see where we were going with this project. So we chose Fargo, North Dakota. And I highlighted, not everyone may know where that is. We don't have a lot of big cities, so if you've heard of any city in North Dakota, it's probably Fargo or Bismarck. And in Fargo, it's a little bit unusual because all of the public schools in Fargo, their school health nurses, all of their school health nurses are contracted by local health. So that's why we specifically chose that area. So the sample size was determined by the CDC. It was a total of 275 student records from four public schools. And so basically what we did is we used staff to do all of this, but basically what we wanted to do is we wanted a matching hierarchy. We wanted it to tell us, okay, this record matches, this record doesn't match, and this is the reason why. So this is our hierarchy. So first of all, yes, obviously means the record's matched. And when it says matched, it means dose per dose, administration date, number of doses, everything. Then the second characteristic or category is know the registry. And what that means is the registry had better data or more complete data. So it's going to have more doses, it's going to have a complete series, versus the school having more complete data or having more doses. And then some records just purely didn't match. And so I wanted to, just because we kind of developed the categories of the variables, I wanted to give just a few examples of them, ones that we came across quite a bit. Ones that we came across quite a bit with the registry having better data was when a child received a birth dose in Pediarix. A lot of times that child would have four doses of hepatitis B, where the school would only have three doses. So they'd probably have the birth dose, the 2- and the 4-month dose. They would count three doses, call it good. So that was a situation where the registry often had better data. The second category is looking at the school having better data. And sometimes this happened if a child received immunizations out of state, they would bring the immunization record to the school and the registry wouldn't have it. And then solely some records were just different. We noticed this a lot. Sometimes it was pretty obvious if it was due to data entry error or other issues like that. So basically, as I kind of explained before, we used SAS to do data analysis. We did three rounds of data cleaning, which is really important. We got the first round back and kind of looked at it. We're like, wow, this is horrible. And so we kind of went back through it and realized that a lot of them were nicknames or dates of birth were wrong or something like that. And so we did three rounds, and it actually was pretty incredible the amount that it changed just by doing basic data cleaning. We also, looking at the data with the data entry errors, we basically just assumed that any doses that were entered within 14 days of each other were arbitrarily considered matches. And that's solely just because they probably were the same dose. I'm doubting that a child got two doses of vaccine 2 days apart kind of thing. We did correct errors in names and dates of birth. And then another data point that we looked at and I'm not presenting on today is we did look, this is all kind of client-based data, like we looked at, you know, Joe Johnson from this school and Joe Johnson the registry, but we also kind of took a step back and looked at just solely numbers of kids. We looked at, okay, a percentage of registry records that matched school records, but it really wasn't anything statistically significant. It was actually pretty boring. So basically our results. So out of the 275 records, 173 of them did match. They matched on every dose administration date, so that's about 63% matched. But kind of the important point, or what we kind of wanted to highlight in this, was almost a quarter of the records the school had better, or the registry had better data than the school. So it was actually 24% of our kids had better records in the registry than that school. There's about 7% that were different, just solely based on different data. And then about 6% of kids had a better record at school. So we want to break that down and kind of combine it a little bit more. We have about 87% of students have a complete record in the registry. So they have as good or better data in the registry, which is a huge amount. So about 87% of our kindergartners could have a record solely based on what's in the registry. Then if you look at records at school, just under 69% of kids would have a complete immunization record at school. So that's combining both the kids that matched with the registry and then the 6% that had a better record at school. We kind of figured out that the reason why students may have a better immunization record at school is immunizations may be given out of state or on military bases. And then 63% of students basically had the same record at school or in the registry. It wouldn't have mattered where you got the record. And then again, we have this group that we can't really figure out, where we have 7% of records did not match. So that means neither the school nor the registry had a complete record. And most of these, when looking at them, were due to data entry errors. They were obvious, you know, they would be the same month and date, but they had a different year or something like that. So our limitations were, again, the data entry error. When it was really obvious, the dose was the same, but we couldn't do anything about it. If the dose was given on the same month, the same day, but a year, 3 years apart, we had to leave it as a non-match. So that is a limitation, because they probably did truly match. A limitation is FERPA. We did have to stick with a pilot area, stick to one specific school system, because of the limitations due to that. And then also, in terms of North Dakota, Fargo is considered an urban area. So in the future, we would like to look at more rural area, because that may make a big difference. So future steps, and really the whole point of this project, was we really want to educate schools on the importance of keeping good records, the importance of doing data entry, and also of making sure you have an updated record. excuse me. So next fall, what we're going to be doing is we're actually pulling electronic data files out of the registry, and we'll be supplying them to schools who want, it's an opt-in process, who want this electronic file, and it'll actually populate PowerSchools for them. So they won't have to do the double data entry, they won't have the manual data entry, and we're hoping that that will kind of improve their data that they have at the school. So the future steps that we want to look to is, in this project, we did not look at up-to-date status. We solely looked at number of doses and matching dates. So we would like to look at that, because that is an important point, not only having the number of doses to be up-to-date, but ensuring that those are truly valid doses. We did kind of quickly look at students' records that differed. And like the registry would say they're up-to-date, but the school would say they're not up-to-date. So looking at the reasons why, you know, a student's record would differ based on up-to-date, and then we would like to expand the area and compare more records. We would specifically like to look at older kids, because obviously kindergarten students, they probably have an updated record at the school, but like at seventh grade, you know, they probably haven't submitted a record for a few years. So that's everything.